Radio.com.
Here's the top of the hour.
I'd like to challenge your thinking.
You are doing all right in life. You have enough money to buy food, and you're doing well. You have a challenging job, and your family is relatively happy, and that's good. Now, let's hear the reading of a letter from somebody who's not in quite as fortunate a situation as you are in. Here's from Pennsylvania, a listener to Jack McClam's program. He writes, to whom it may concern, I was downsized from a large, uncaring corporation after 10 years of dedication and hard work. Although this was a devastating incident, it gave me a wake-up call to what's really important in life, God, family, and country. With this newfound time on my hands while looking for work, I've been able to reacquaint myself with the informative programming of Truth Radio, that Truth Radio has to offer. I particularly enjoy listening to and hearing from our brothers in freedom, Jack McClam and Bo Greitz. It's been years since I've had the time to tune in, and I was pleasantly surprised to find these two still at it. To make a long story short, I've been out of work for about a month, but in this last month, I found comfort in your broadcast and in knowing there are others out there who still care about the big three, God, family, and country. Please accept this meager donation of $20. This $20 has more importance now than when I was working. Then it was just pocket money. Now it's groceries, or in this day and age, a quarter tank of gas. After listening this past month, it's easy for me to mail it off to you because I know your message promotes what is most important, the big three. Thank you for all you do. And then it is signed by somebody who deserves a big salute from all of us. And, of course, you are comfortable in your situation, so you won't be sending us $20, will you? No, why should you? I mean, really, why should you? You're doing just fine. So why should you be concerned about how Truth Radio is doing? Why should you be concerned that Truth Radio has been running a deficit for months and months now? Why should you be concerned that we have run up a debt of to outsiders of over $50,000 that must be paid? Why should you be concerned that even though the interest that is charged on that debt currently is 0%, soon the interest will begin to apply and start dragging Truth Radio's fortunes down still further? Why should you be concerned that Truth Radio, when we put out the challenge a couple weeks ago, received a phone call from one of our major vendors who said that he would charge us $500 less from now on? Why should you be concerned that now our budget, instead of being $4,000 a month, is only $3,500 a month? Why should you be concerned that it will be impossible for Truth Radio to continue unless we can wake up a few people who have jobs and who do have the ability to join in and order books or order videos or simply make contributions? Well, this fellow didn't even order a book or a video. He simply gave $20 of his grocery money to Truth Radio. Why should you be concerned? He's going to bear the burden for you. You can put your money in the bank. You can put your money toward your children's inheritance. That's what you should do. You should look out for yourself. You shouldn't look out for Truth Radio. What's Truth Radio anyhow? It will soon be gone, you think. Oh, yeah? Well, I'm not so sure of that. Truth Radio will have ways to continue without you, and you won't have the satisfaction of being one who has helped Truth Radio. Now, December is going to have to be a month of victory for Truth Radio, or some really major changes will have to be made. Right now, we're on Windows Encoder. We're on Real Audio. We're on MP3. All three of those accesses, channels of access through your computer. And then we're on satellite, and there are little micro stations picking up Truth Radio through satellite that we know nothing about. So something will go unless we can start balancing the books of Truth Radio. But it doesn't involve you. Don't feel you need to respond. Why should you? You are happy in your situation. Our address, in case you just want to help, is P.O. Box 344, Nipomo, California, zip code 93444. And once again, a great big thank you to Dominic in Pennsylvania for his marvelous participation. People like him keep us going. Thank you. Here is Truth Radio's financial report for the month of November. We received $1,103.10. Fortunately, we spent about $400 less than our $4,000 a month budget, which means we ended the month with a deficit of $2,531.32. Now, as a result of our announcements, one of our major vendors has reduced our budget by $500 a month. So in December, we will need only $3,500. Now, what he has done is unfair to him. We very much appreciate what he has done. And we hope that within the next 3 or 4 months, we'll be able to go back to our regular amount of payment to him. With your help, we can. We need to hear from you on a regular basis every month. P.O. Box 344, Nipomo, California, 93444.
We're going to rise up with the sun in the morning. We're going to start each brand new day with a prayer. Because without the love and kindness of our Lord and our Savior, we sons of liberty can't get anywhere. We're gonna do the work our Lord puts before us, and there's a job that surely needs to get done. The job of waking up the nation to the new world order, which is trying to put us under their thumb.
Well, good morning, fellow Americans. All those that love God and liberty from around the world listening in this morning, you're back on the Officer Jack McLam program, coming to you from the high Rocky Mountains of Idaho County, Idaho, USA. It's Friday here in the USA. I know it's a different date in other parts of the world, but I hope you're having a good week anyway. We certainly are here at our police and military organizations, which we have two of here. At our headquarters, we have the Police and Military Against the New World Order, and we have our publication, constitutional publication, Aid and Abet Police Military Newsletter on constitutional issues. And so we represent here thousands and thousands of our brothers and sisters in uniform that love God and love freedom and are working to try to help us put this nation back under our constitutional republic. This brings me to the matter at hand this morning. In order to get our country back on our constitutional system that was originally set up by our founding fathers, we need to understand some things about what has gone wrong and how we have lost this nation and are now under a socialist democracy system, which is just socialism and Marxism, basically. They call it a democracy because you're supposed to think that you get an opportunity to vote for the leaders in this nation. Of course, that's poppycock, as you know, as you've been listening in to Truth Radio Communications for any time, and America Voice Radio. We want to talk this morning with a gentleman that is involved and has been for years in one of the most important challenges in this nation, and it has to do with the basic foundation, the way the nation was set up, where we have something called a separation of powers in the government. And I know some of the listeners today, it is not your fault, because even when I went to school, we didn't understand a lot of these terms, because even when I went to school many, many years ago in the 50s, they were phasing out teaching us about the foundations of America. And so a lot of our listeners today are scratching their head going, separation of powers, what is this? Well, we've got the right person on today to tell about the very, very bad problem we have in this nation, where we've lost this very crucial part of our system, and that is a young man named Robert Bertrand, and he is from Florida, and he is a patriot activist to the first degree. He's also co-founder of the Constitutional Guardian organization, and he's the founder and national director of the Congress for Legislative Reform. I'm trying to read my own writing here, and when Bob told me about this, I didn't write it very well, so I apologize to Bob here. And let's bring him on now. We've got some serious things to talk about to enlighten the audience out there that doesn't understand how we've gotten to the bad situation we're in now and what is the method on which we can return to our constitutional republic. Bob, welcome to the program this morning.
Well, thank you very much, Jack, and it's always a pleasure to be on the program with you. I know a few years back we'd done three or four shows together.
Yeah.
And it was always, and now that we're back in the swing of things, especially when talking from Idaho, this is something quite interesting. Our main thing, Jack, and again, I take my hat off to you a million times because you're sure a patriot, and I sure feel proud to stand beside you.
Well, that's
but
nice.
The,
thank you.
The main thing, you've got to get back to separation of powers and checks and balances, which we don't have in our government today.
Yes. Hey, Robert, start telling the people what that is, because I know some of the listeners out there have gone through the government brains laundry, and they don't have any idea what we're talking about this morning. If you wouldn't mind, start with the basic there, then we'll get into what the problem is.
Well, the basic problem is you have lawyer legislators making the laws, and you've got lawyer judges adjudicating the laws, and then you've got lawyer prosecutors enforcing the laws. In other words, we don't have any checks and balances. We have same-hands control, and this is exactly what James Madison, our main founding father, stated. He said he warned us 240 years ago when they put the Federalist Papers together. He basically said, if the effective control of all three separate branches of government get under the same-hands control, then we will have tyranny and oppression, and there will be nothing in the system to correct the problem. In other words, you cannot go to the Nazi party and say you're killing Jews because that was their purpose. You wouldn't go to the slave owners and saying you're abusing slaves. That's their purpose. You wouldn't go to the Ku Klux Klan and you're saying you're abusing blacks. That was their purpose. Nor would you go to our corrupt court system and say we're getting abused in the system because that's their purpose. They've taken over a single same-hands control of all three separate branches of government. And this is the main problem you have facing America, and the fact that they have control, there's no way we can get out of the system until we get educated. And
right.
Our purpose, again, is to educate the public about separation of powers, checks and balances, and get back to constitutional form of government.
Very good. That's true. This is exactly what we're doing here on these broadcasts. And it's a very effective, brother. It's just we have to understand some of the underpinnings that we have lost, including this very important one that you're bringing to us today.
I'll tell you what the base thing. The Florida Constitution is a very good example of the thing that exists and the problem that exists all over the country. But here's what it says. Article 2, Section 3 of the Florida Constitution says, the powers of state government, now that's all governments in the state of Florida, all governments in the state of Florida, it says the powers of state government shall be divided into legislative, executive, and judicial branches. No person belonging to one branch shall exercise any powers appertaining to either of the other branches unless expressly provided herein. And, of course, there's no exception to this thing. And the thing is, if we do not have that three separate branches of government, we lose power and we lose control of it, and the government becomes tyrannical, and that's exactly what we have in America today.
That's right, yeah.
But my hope is to get people to read the original Federalist Papers. In other words, the original Federalist Papers are the documents. That was because at the time the country was being formed, there was a group of people called the Anti-Federalists, led by Patrick Henry.
Yes.
And the basic essence of their argument was they said, we cannot join the colonies together because the same as cream comes to the top of milk, scum will come to the top of the cesspool. And you just have to look around at Washington today and look at your state capitals. These people are not responding to your needs. They have special interests that they're taking very good care of.
Yes, they are.
And that's the problem we have. And unless we want to, tyranny is reigning. And again, people don't even want to go out and vote. I think the Department of Election took out a report about 3 years ago. And they pointed out that less than 20% of the people in this country ever go out and vote on a regular basis. And they took a survey of people that didn't vote, and they asked them, why don't you go out and vote? You know, it doesn't cost any money. You can get a ride to and from the polls. People give you time off work. You're getting paid while you're going out to vote. The polls are open from 7 o'clock in the morning to 7 o'clock at night. They're in your vicinity. They're not too far away from you. But the people just said, well, it's like replacing Al Capone with Bugs Malone. In other words, one set of crooks with another set of crooks.
Absolutely.
So if we don't open up our eyes and smell the coffee and understand something's wrong with the system, it's not the individual people. the people, and you can lead a horse to water, you can't make them drink. So when people don't believe in the system, they don't see anything happening, then we've got a problem. And you know, I think when Perot was running for president several years back, he got a private survey company to go all across the country and take a survey, and it says, do you trust your government to do the right thing? And 84% of the people that were polled in this country mentioned they don't trust the government to do the right thing. I mean, when does the country go into revolution? If people don't trust your government, then there's a problem out there, and I think it's time for the government to wake up and smell the coffee.
Well, it's also time for the people to put feet to their prayers. There's a lot of people out there praying that the Lord returns and straightens everything out, but that's not what the Holy Scripture said. God said we're supposed to straighten things out and occupy these institutions with good people that love God and freedom, and not these people that I have a quote here from. We need to speak for a moment about who these lawyers are who have invaded the whole system and taken over. And we have a professor here, Professor Link, who is the dean of University of Notre Dame Law School, and he says the reputation and ethical level of the legal profession are at an all-time low, said this professor. Now, I remember as a police officer, many times we'd receive these polls that would tell about what the American would think of a police officer, a lawyer, a judge, and politicians, and so forth, brother. And I always noticed at the very bottom of the list, along with car salesmen and aluminum siding salesmen, was lawyers down there. And so, brother, what I'm saying is today we have almost 40% of those in the Congress and the Senate and surrounding the White House. Many times we have presidents that are lawyers who are actually running the country today. And these people somehow gained respectability when they became leaders in our society that they didn't have when they were lawyers, and the people thought they were lower than whale manure, you know?
This is quite true.
Yeah.
That this is very much entirely. One of the reasons why this happens, Jack, is that, you know, they don't even follow their own oath of office. This is very, very sad to say this, but these lawyers, when they become lawyers, they are part of the judicial branch of government, and they swear an oath to the Supreme Court. And I'm just as an example, Jack, if you have just I'd just like to read the oath of office that all lawyers swear to here in the state of Florida.
I'd like to hear that.
The oath is pretty well predominant throughout the country. In other words, most of Supreme Courts, this is the oath that the lawyers are sworn to.
I see.
Here's the oath of office they swear to. It says, I do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the state of Florida. Well, we have our imagination about that, too. It says, I will maintain the respect due to the courts of justice and judicial officers. I will not counsel or maintain any suit or proceeding which shall appear to me to be unjust, nor any defense except that as such I believe to be honestly debatable under the law of the land. I will employ for the purpose of maintaining the causes confided to me such means only as are consistent with truth and honor, and will never seek to mislead the judge or jury by any artifice or false statement of fact or law. That's a very, very problematic thing.
My goodness.
I will maintain the confidence and preserve inviolate the secrets of my clients and will accept no compensation in connection with their business except from them or with their knowledge and approval.
Wow.
I will abstain from all offensive personality and advance no fact prejudicial to the honor or reputation of a party or witness unless required to by the justice of the cause with which I am charged. I will never... This is a big problem here, Jack. I will never reject from any consideration personal to myself the cause of the defenseless or the oppressed, or delay anyone's cause for lucre or malice. So help me God.
Yes.
And you find me a lawyer that follows that oath of office.
Wow. I don't know.
I'll probably lick his feet if I had to.
I know a couple lawyers that I believe really tried to follow that, and the others, I don't think they ever read it or heard it before.
Exactly.
According to the way they act and work today.
And it's sad because, you know, this is in the state of Florida, 1953, the Florida Supreme Court, in the case Cone versus Cone, stated very plainly. It said the most important business of state is justice. I believe that's the last thing I think we have in our courthouse today.
Right. That's the system. Yep. We thought about this for our voice to take and tell you that's true. Okay, Bob, thanks. We'll be right back with more. Hope it's so critical to all of us. I hope that our understanding can get back to lawyers out of the center of power. Right.
A Truth Radio listener in Minnesota has shared with us a CD of a British documentary exposing the American military for forcing our military pilots to take amphetamines in order to enhance their performance when they're doing flight missions. Fighter pilots on speed. That's what this CD is all about. I'll send you this DVD. And you can contribute anything you want for it. The only thing I ask is that you pledge that you will share it with your friends and neighbors. Call in a dozen neighbors and ask them to view it with you. This is something the American public simply doesn't know. We have to spread the word. It's an important DVD. Now please, let me send it to you. I'm going to send you a bonus presentation as well if you order it. Send us a contribution of any size, P.O. Box 344, Nipomo, California, 93444.
As a Christian, does science threaten your faith? Does it contradict the Bible? Not anymore. More and more scientists now believe that the only rational explanation is God. Hi, I'm Lee Strobel, and in my new book, The Case for a Creator, I share what I discovered when I talk with scientists about how the universe and life itself came to be. The good news is that science has discovered God. Read The Case for a Creator or visit caseforacreator.com and get all the data you need to convince family and friends. The evidence is astonishing. The verdict is in. God did it. Case closed.
In The Case for a Creator, best-selling author and former atheist Lee Strobel will take you on a remarkable investigation into how the universe began. He'll show you how you can confidently make the case for a creator to your family, your friends, and the world. The Case for a Creator by Lee Strobel, found wherever great books are sold. From Zondervan, discover life in Christ.
We're gonna rise up with the sun in the morning. We're gonna start each brand new day with a prayer. Because without the love and kindness of our Lord and our Savior, we sons of liberty can't get anywhere. We're gonna do the work our Lord puts before us, and there's a job that surely needs to get done. The job of waking up the nation to the new world order, which is trying to put us under their thumb.
Bob, you know, I'm reading some of this material you sent me in this one article here about the dean talking about the legal system has hit bottom. And in here, right at the bottom, it's interesting, he does say that lawyers rate in the polls about even below auto salesmen, you know, used car salesmen. But then he goes on to say that a man here by the name of Ron Bibas,
right. And that, that's the president of a group.
You know him. He says he's a legal activist, and he said reform of the system was almost impossible today because lawyers control all three branches of the government, which he said was actually unconstitutional. So how do we get back to this, brother? What is the form? Number one, people have to understand today what the separation of powers is and that it is not viable today. But once they understand, is there a method to get back?
Well, there is a method to get back, Jack. That the thing is, we just have to get educated. In the Bible, in John 8:32, it says very plainly, "And the truth shall set you free." That is a very, very important statement in the Bible. It says, "And the truth shall set you free." We're under a tyrannical form of government today, and we've got to get out of this thing, and we've got to get people educated properly. And, of course, the Federalist Papers, there's a new book's been put out.
Yep.
It's called The Federalist Papers in Modern Language, Index for Today's Political Issues, and it's edited by Mary E. Webster, the Webster Dictionary family. Now, way back in 1995, We had got to Newt Gingrich, who at the time was the incoming Speaker of the House, and we'd seen him a few years before that at the Ross Perot Convention in Dallas. And we'd mentioned Mr. Perot was very predominant in saying that he wants to come out and give all our website and all our material at the convention. There's about 10,000 people in the United We Stand Convention in Dallas. And Mr. Gingrich was there, and he came over to our table, and he said, "This is quite interesting, the material you're putting out about separation of powers and checks and balances." And I made a statement. I said, Mr. Gingrich, you're a former history professor at the University of Georgia. You, above anyone else, should know the significance of the Federalist Papers, because that was the original contract between the Founding Fathers and the citizens of the country. That was the outline. That's the blueprint.
Yes, it is.
Of our Constitution, and we've got to get back to that. I mean, you're talking about the working papers of the Constitution. Why aren't the people aware of it? So he said, "Well, that's a kind of a tall explanation you're asking for." But he said, I definitely will do something to try to help you. And believe it or not, the last night of that convention that we had in Dallas, Mr. Gingrich was very predominant. He saw the mood of the crowd, and there's about 10,000 people there. And he said, "I want you to do something." He said, "Do not trust your politicians to do the right thing." He said, "A politician comes to work in the morning. He's got one thing in mind. He's going to vote a certain way. Two or three different people enter his office throughout the day, and by nighttime, he comes up with a whole different opinion, and his vote is exactly in the other direction."
Yes.
So he said, "Probably we have some of the best politicians that money can buy."
Yes.
So he pretty well got the mood of the crowd over there, and people,
yeah,
you know, didn't trust the politicians.
Uh-huh.
And when the Republicans took over the House in 1995, and he was going to make this a policy, that he was going to get involved, and they had a thing called a contract with America. Well, this was something very, very predominant. I was very impressed with this, what he said. January 1995, January 20th, in the inauguration speech, he said, "I want all the incoming congressmen to read the Federalist Papers so you'll understand separation of powers and checks and balances and find out what our founding fathers envisioned for the future of the country." Well, believe it or not, in that listening audience that day was a lady by the name of Mary Webster. And Mary Webster's great uncle was Noah Webster, the founder of the dictionary. Daniel Webster is also in her family lineage. Her grandfather had been the governor of Connecticut. His name was John Webster. And believe it or not, on her mother's side, her mother's related to Miles Standish, one of the persons that signed the original Mayflower Compact.
I see.
So she heard the speech, and she said, "You know, that's funny." She'd been a professor of translation for several years, and she was quite concerned about this thing. And she said, "You know, I'm going to do something for posterity." She said, "I'm going to translate those papers and put them in modern-day language. Grade 11 reading level can read it and understand it, and we'll do something to change this system that we're operating under right now." Anyway, she spent four solid years, took time off her professorship, and put the Federalist Papers in modern language.
Well, that's fantastic.
And we got a very nice letter from Clarence Thomas, one of the Supreme Court justices, who read it and said, "You know, this is an excellent document that everyone should read." United States Senator Charles Grassley from the state of Iowa also read the document and the whole thing. He totally agreed. He said, "This is excellent for high school students." I think it was John Kasich, just as the Speaker of the House, wrote an excellent letter, you know, supporting what we're doing. However, the major publishers, when they saw what we're doing, I mean, the history departments, political science departments were totally supportive, but when the legal department got a hold of it, no way, Jose, I mean, that was the end of that, you know,
yes,
no way.
So
we did get Alan Gottlieb from the Second Amendment Foundation. He's got a printing company called Merrill Press.
Yes.
They did put out 35,000 copies of it. And now we're going to try to go one step further. We put it on CD-ROM. And we're hoping to get people to look at it, to see what we're doing. They can, they care to call me. I'll get them a copy of it. We're not asking for any. We're just asking for postage and handling charges. And that's all I'm asking. I'll send them a lot of other material that they can read and understand it and get a better concept. We have made some inroads. The silver-haired legislators here in the state of Florida have gone ahead and they've seen the CD-ROM, and they've passed a bill in both their Senate and their House. Of course, this is a silver-haired. This is not the regular Senate. This is an advisory group. And they passed a bill to make it compulsory reading for all the high school students to read the Federalist Papers in the state of Florida. So, and it was a couple of years ago, Dr. Thomas Sowell, who's the chief economist at Stanford University, also a Christian conservative writer,
sure.
And they passed a bill in the state of California to make it compulsory reading. So we have an excellent chance if other people in the audience out there would go to their school boards, but you have to get to the curriculum department because the school boards are basically controlled by lawyers.
That's
as a matter
right.
of fact, the board of trustees of all your universities in this country are controlled by lawyers. And
well,
it's a,
and also, we must remember that almost 100%, almost 100%, not quite, but almost 100% of the law professors at the universities, like the other professors of the universities in our nation today, are hardcore leftists. Some are Marxists, some are Bolsheviks, and some are Leninists and so forth. And they don't want this thing taught to the lawyers. They don't want it taught in the schools at all. So, my goodness gracious, this is amazing, Bob, that you were able to get this put through into the curriculum in Florida and California. And I'm thinking, is it being done in California? It's just beyond me that they would actually let the kids read and understand the Federalist Papers when that's such a leftist, Marxist
you're right.
State
the problem,
today.
The problem is, Jack, in the state of California, they're reading the original Federalist Papers, and many people just glance over it
and they
go over it, and they really don't understand it. So
since
Merriam-Webster just put this book out recently, if you know, you can get a better perspective of it, and again, people can read it. The funniest thing, my attorney used to be the Chief Justice in the Florida Supreme Court, and it was really interesting that I brought him the documents, and he really was, you know, I discussed it with him, and he said, well, this is subject to interpretation. And I said, well, look at, I mean, in a realistic sort of way, when Madison is telling us something, he's telling us there should be no overlap. And no, in other words, if you're in the judicial branch of government, and he said, well, in true fact, you're totally correct. You're totally correct. But he said, you know, a lot of people look at that part as being rather vague. And I said, well, it's definitely a conflict of interest. For the same people that you see people make a law, interpret laws, and board, that's a total conflict of interest. And why would you have separation of powers if you had same people and all? It would just, you know, you'd have one group, and it doesn't even mean that you've got total control of the legislative or executive branch of government. I mean, the judicial branch of government is pretty well 100% lawyers.
And that's can you imagine, brother, if there was 40% of our government 535 senators and representatives, 40% out there were born-again Christian, they wouldn't allow it.
Exactly.
And they wouldn't allow the three centers of power to be taken over by born-again Christians. They would do something
to stop it,
but these leftist reprobate lawyers, it's just fine that they control.
Right. It's sad when you see this, but I think, you know, when you're talking about effective control, you know, people have to look at, I mean, in communist Cuba, for example, there's probably less than maybe 15% of the people actually belong to the Communist Party. And yet they refer to it as communist Cuba.
Right.
And in Nazi Germany, I said, I think at the most they said of something, about 35% of the German people belong to the Nazi Party. But that's still enough to give effective control.
Sure.
I believe in Russia, communist Russia, there was something like about maybe 23 or 24% belonged to the Communist Party, but it was still Communist Russia.
Yeah. Well,
so
they,
when we have lawyers that occupy, 40% of our government, we have a very strong, it's just legal tyranny. I think you can just base it as legal tyranny.
Well, and when you take over all forms of communication, you can tell the people anything, and they don't know the difference.
Exactly.
You know, and that's what they've done in all these countries, including America today.
Right.
You can tell them that, you know, the moon's made out of green cheese, and if there's nowhere they can prove it's not, then people will believe that.
That's exactly where we're at today. It's called the dumbing down of America, and I think somewhere on the line, if the Christians out there in the listening audience would actually get a chance to read the Bible, believe it or not, Jack, a very good friend of mine is a vascular surgeon. He works on heart transplants. And he saw my protest in front of the courthouse steps, and he came to me one day and he said, you know, you're so right in what you're saying here. He said, I'm going to dissect the Bible. So I'm going to use the Oxford University Press Bible that's used by the Catholic Church and the Cambridge University Press Bible that's used by the Protestant churches. And I'm going to dissect both of those Bibles to make sure that people understand how corrupt the system really is.
Uh-huh.
And believe it or not, Jack, it picked up 24 places in the Bible where Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and Jesus were critical of lawyers. They are referred throughout the Bible as being hypocrites. And yet we elect these hypocrites to ruin our government. And Bob, probably, like some people say, we no longer live in a democracy, we live in a hypocrisy.
Yes.
But I'm hoping that, here's one expression that I'd like to...
Before you get off that thing you just said there, Bob, would that happen to be on your website? I'd love to get that to where it's all these places in the Bible it talks about lawyers. Do you happen to have that on your website?
I didn't know. I haven't put something on yet, but I'll tell you what I'll do, Jack. Uh-huh. Anybody that cares to call me at my number,
okay, let's
I would be more than happy to send you the copy of it, and then what you can do, or what I ask the people to do, is after they read it, if they're fully satisfied, they get access to a copy machine. It's a 4-page document.
Okay.
But they can get copies and mail it to your legislators. Make them understand it's time to smell the coffee.
Right.
And
yeah.
And take it to your elected officials. Take it to all your churches and show the churches this is where we stand.
Well, you've got a great website, my friend, and you've got the Federalist Papers on there that every single American listening to our voice today should read personally and then make copies and get this out and let people know about this wonderful website, because it is true that, I use the quotes around here quite often about... from the scriptures, and one of my favorite is Isaiah 5:13, where the Lord says, "Therefore my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge."
Mm-hmm.
And Hosea 4:6, of course, my people are enslaved because they have no knowledge, and so forth. And so it's just amazing that we have today, with God's blessing, the ability to use mass communication to reach the people like we're doing this morning. So we can have a tremendous effect with this very good material that you're putting out, Bob, if we can get it in the hands of all of our listeners, and they will duplicate our actions in the actions of their own and other people. So let's give out your phone number to where people can get a hold of you, and also your website, where they can see what you're trying to do for all of us across America.
Yes, my phone number is Bob Bertrand, and it's Constitutional Guardians of America. My address is 6951 Miami Lakeway South. That's Miami Lakes, Florida, 33014. Again, my phone number is 305-823-6076. Our websites are www.constitutionalguardian.com. That's one word, small letters, constitutionalguardian.com. The other website is called judicialaccountability.org. I'd ask you to, again, just write it to judicialaccountability.org. The book that we're asking people to get is called The Federalist Papers in Modern Language, Index for Today's Political Issues, and it's edited by Mary E. Webster of the Webster Dictionary Family. And if you care to give me a call, my phone number. I have it on a CD-ROM, and I also have on the same CD-ROM, I have the continuation of the Federalist Papers.
Very good.
And I'd ask people to go from there. Jack, there's one other thing I'd like people to do. There's a group of lawyers in New York City. It's called the Manhattan Institute.
Oh, really?
And what they've done is they've seen what we're doing. They're basically supported by the United States Chamber of Commerce because of all this litigation that's in this country that's destroying our manufacturing base and causing a lot of companies to go overseas to do their manufacturing.
Right.
So they've got together, and they've got a free magazine that they'll send anybody who gives them a call or writes them. It's called the Manhattan Institute.
Uh-huh.
And as a matter of fact, Philip K. Howard is one of the lawyers on the board of this group, and he wrote a book called The Death of Common Sense in America, in which he explains the catastrophe that we're walking into. It's called The Death of Common Sense in America by Philip K. Howard.
This is a group of good attorneys.
Oh, yes. Yeah, they're a basically defense attorney. They're trying to turn this thing around and trying to take this nightmare out of our society today. But it's supported by the United States Chamber of Commerce. It's the Washington Legal Foundation. It's the Federal Society. There's several law schools now that are seeing the horror stories of the system.
Uh-huh.
And I'd ask people to, you can call this number. It's 212. And it's 599-7000. That's 212-599-7000.
Okay.
And ask for a lady by the name of Sonia. And just ask her to she'll send you a beautiful 32-page glossy-covered magazine. It's called Trial Lawyers, Inc. That's like incorporated. Trial Lawyers, Inc. Call them. Ask them for 2 to 5 copies for your organization. and they'll send it free of charge, just a regular postage. Just tell me you want a regular post. They'll send you the 3 to 5 copies, even up to 10 copies, if you have an organization. And
wow.
I ask you to read this book. I mean, it really puts the gives the devil the doctor.
Well, all your things.
Right.
Okay, we'll be right back with more. Give out those numbers again, folks. Just have your favorite number ready. Ready. Back.
Hi, this is Pat Shannon. I know you all have at least one friend out there who doesn't quite believe what you've been trying to tell him or her. You know what I mean, the covered-up truth and the suppressed information that you've heard here. Let me suggest that you make a donation to Truth Radio and get a couple of copies of my 1999 novel, One in a Million. One for you and one for them. And then extract a promise from them that they will read it. Your friends will then begin to understand some of the things that you've been trying to tell them. And you will finally get the pleasure of saying, I told you so. I want you to know that One in a Million, which a Washington lawyer said was more truth and fantasy than fiction, has completely sold out here, and the only copies of the first edition remaining are those there in stock at Truth Radio in California. That means you're getting a collector's item as well, one that I will be happy to autograph for you whenever we're together again. Truth Radio has never put a price on its valuable merchandise. That's because the honor system means that everyone will play fairly, and most people always do. Of course, if you want to fudge a little and give a little more, it's okay, because that's what it takes to keep the message on the airwaves. And if you want an entertaining path to the truth,
ask for One in a Million when you write Truth Radio, P.O. Box 344, Nipomo, California, 93444.
Thomas Jefferson wrote in 1798 on this piece of paper, scotch taped here on the wall above my desk. 1798, after one of his own defeats, Thomas Jefferson wrote, a little patience, and we shall see the reign of witches pass over, their spells dissolve, and the people, recovering their true sight, restore their government to its true principles. If the game runs sometimes against us at home, we must have patience till luck turns, and then we shall have an opportunity of winning back the principles we have lost. For this is a game where principles are at stake, said Thomas Jefferson.
And that's the voice of Garrison Keillor, prairiehome.org.
We're gonna rise up with the sun in the morning. We're gonna start each brand new day with a prayer. Because without the love and kindness of our Lord and our Savior, we sons of liberty can't get anywhere. We're gonna do the work our Lord puts before us, and there's a job that surely needs to get done. The job of waking up the nation to the new world order, which is trying to put us under their thumb.
My goodness gracious, this is so important, Bob. I'm just reading here this article you sent me by Dr. Thomas Sowell. And he's talking about the California law that went in requiring high schools to include the Federalist Papers among their assigned reading. This is incredible. But our problem is, like you said, is that if they pull down a copy of the Federalist Papers and pass it out to a high school kid in California, where 50% of the kids can't even read, and the other, probably another 40% of that last 50% probably read at a sixth grade level, at the most, we're not accomplishing the goal. I think this Merriam-Webster that wrote this in a language that those that do not have a great education can understand it is where we need to go. Isn't that true, Bob?
Oh, definitely. I mean, this is something, like I said, the real thing, I've taken the original documents to different lawyers and judges. And
yeah.
and they just didn't quite catch on. There's a disease we all have. It's called cognitive dissonance, and I define it as the amount of good that we think we're doing far supersedes the amount of evil that we're actually doing. I mean, the Nazis used that in World War II, and they thought they were cleaning up the Aryan race, and the slave owners used it when they thought they were going to Christianize or evangelize the slaves and sort of thing. But it's like false reasoning, and a lot of these lawyers and judges suffer from this sort of thing. And they really don't want to tell you the truth. They want to, you know, skirt the issue because they want to cover their own butts at the same time. But I believe strongly that if we get this book put in there, and it was kind of interesting that a few months ago that we got a letter from a group of high school teachers in the state of Florida, and they were interested in getting this book brought down to grade 10 reading level. So they wanted and set up a curriculum for it.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So once we get this thing started, and especially the listening audience out there, when they get a copy of it, and you go to actually the school board, again, is controlled by lawyers. They have a lawyer that sits on the school board, and you bring up a subject that affects his income or affects his livelihood or something, he's not going to want to discuss it. But if you go directly to the curriculum department and show this book and get these people to read it and say, this is we're going to suggest that you put it into high schools. And get them to look at this thing directly. I think you would definitely make a difference.
I think there's
not a doubt in my mind that, you know, there are wise people on those boards, and they hear a lot of criticism. And if they start to see an opening where they can, you know, actually teach the students something that would benefit everyone, as opposed to trying to brainwash them with something that, you know, I mean, there's a lot of the subjects that they're teaching in the schools today that I don't know if they really have that much value, maybe for a certain segment and certain years, but When this is something that affects everybody.
It does, brother, because if people understand where the Federalist Papers came from, and I'm just thinking back 20 years ago when I read it, and that was when I was a police officer, and I was getting involved in this freedom fight, and I didn't know anything. You know, I didn't learn the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, or didn't read the Federalist Papers, didn't even know what it was when I was growing up. And so when I read it, I think it was Jay, Hamilton, and Madison, wasn't it? After each day of the Constitutional Convention, folks, they would go home, and they would write up exactly why certain things were discussed and why certain things were put in the Constitution. So what we have here is a blueprint and an operator's guide. When you read the Constitution, you may say, well, what the heck does that mean? Well, you go to the Federalist Papers, and everything that was put in the Constitution, Bob, I believe I'm correct. It's been a long time since I've read it. It explains why the debate, why they put that in the Constitution. So it is not ambiguous. It does not allow an activist judge, activist court, to get off base and say, well, I believe it meant this. No, you just open up the Federalist Papers, and you don't have to debate on what they meant because they lay it out for you there. Isn't that true, Bob?
That's exactly. And one of the nice things that Mary did, it took a while to do it, but she puts the whole Constitution in the book, the whole Constitution there, and then she has taken the various Federalist Papers, and she put the number right beside this expression, the number right, so that it all just ties in like a jigsaw puzzle.
That's really nice.
When somebody sees the chart and the outline, they start to see that, oh, my gosh, this is what this is about. So when they read the Constitution, then they go back to the Federalist Paper and they go back to that document and see what the verification of this thing is. So it ties in very nicely together, and I'm just hoping that I can get people to look at it, understand it. Again, they say an educated consumer is your best customer, so that's basically what we're looking for.
Well, look, my friend, we're going to put this in our Constitutional Police and Military publication. I need a copy of that.
I definitely get it.
We're going to put it in there, and we're going to help you spread this because this is critical for us to understand how we get back to our constitutional system. First of all, the people have to understand what our constitutional system is supposed to be.
Exactly.
And how far off base we are today.
Well, I think, like I say, and it all stems back to biblical times when they said, and the truth shall set you free.
Amen.
The truth has been hidden for us for many years, and maybe even on purpose. You know, I think many of the cases, you know, some of the courses that they're teaching in the schools don't explain people's rights. That's why people don't go out and vote. They don't. And I think, Jack, if enough people stand up and want to be counted, I think we can make a tremendously large difference. And I think, when I started my crusade, because I do have a certain passion about it. Personally, I've had three of my friends commit suicide to going through a stupid divorce case in which the lawyers and judges stole everything they had. They made slaves of these fathers, and I don't know how many police officers all around the country have contacted me and, you know, in total agreement with that lawyers do not belong in the legislative executive branch of government. So no. I'm hoping that enough people around the country can read it, and you can do it. When you get your CD-ROM, you can duplicate it. If you want to make 10 copies of it and give it to 10 different people, make sure that all the legislators, we're doing that this year. We're going to Tallahassee, and we're going to give every single solitary legislator a copy of the CD-ROM, so in his spare time, he can read it and understand it and understand what the people really want.
Wow.
You know, and it's definitely not, all this tyranny that we're getting. I mean, every time you turn around, there's more harassment, more notices. The government was basically set up, and Madison promised this. He's going to give the people in this country enough power to control, but not enough power to oppress. And
right
now we have an oppressive form of government. People are afraid of your government. You're afraid to make a move. You're afraid that somebody's watching you. Sometimes you're even afraid to put a bumper sticker in your car to support a certain candidate because, maybe somebody's going to get even with you.
You're very wise to be careful today because I carry a list on my table here. I keep keeping a list of the FBI brochure that came out a couple of years ago listing Christians and patriots as domestic terrorists on here. So you're right. You've got to be careful as we inform people because you are trying to resist this totalitarian system, Bob, they're setting up, and this Antichrist world government system are their enemies for sure. But I want to tell you, Bob, you have done a beautiful job of starting this ball rolling, you and those that have been helping you, and I'm just thrilled to know you. And I'll tell you, folks, pray for Bob and his people that are have made this available, Mary Webster that's made this available to us. Now let's use it. The wheel has been created. All we got to do is roll that wheel, and we can do that. So, Bob, give out your contact information and do it slow now because
okay. People
have their pencils working, and we want to be sure they get it down right, okay?
Well, my phone number, you can reach me at 305-823-6076. The website, I would ask you to look at that website. Don't be afraid to download it and use it wherever you can. It's www.constitutionalguardian.com. That's one word, the word constitution, alguardian.com. The one word, small letters. The other website is called judicialaccountability.org. Believe it or not, that's written by a lawyer, a graduate of St. Thomas University Law School. We have approximately 900 lawyers now in the state of Florida who want to abolish their own bar association.
They know
the whole system is corrupt, Jack, and they're willing to stick their neck out. It's headed by a law professor.
You're giving me great hope. I don't know, but a few lawyers that are worth their salt are honest people, so you're giving me great hope here. If you've got 900 lawyers that are having problem with this system, brother, maybe we do have more hope than what we think.
Well, there are people that want to do something. The problem is they're afraid.
Yeah.
And, even we've had statements from judges here in the state of Florida stated very plainly. They said, we do not report crooked and corrupt lawyers to the Florida Bar because they do nothing about it anyway, and we get ourselves in political trouble for doing this.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So you can see how incestuous. In other words, there's an incestuous relationship between lawyers and judges because they're all members of the same bar association.
That's right.
There's
an
incestuous relationship between the Florida Bar and the Florida Supreme Court because they're all members of the same bar association. And it's totally, last year in the state of Florida, Jack, just as an example, there were more than 10,000 Floridians that got ripped off by lawyers. This is stealing money out of trust accounts, lying, cheating, blackmail, you name it. Sexual harassment, you name it, they've done it. And last year, because the lawyers are judging themselves, 9,800 of those Floridians were told to go home, you got no probable cause, the lawyer didn't rip you off after all.
Wow.
The whole thing is a scam operation. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to understand you're getting ripped off. But when you go to this so-called Florida Bar corrupt court system, you know that the system of justice in the United States has turned into you're innocent until proven broke. And
you're
simply wasting your money, wasting your time, and it's only there for the rich. There's two kinds of lawyers in every courthouse in America, one that knows the law, the other knows the judge. And if you pick the wrong one, you get ripped off.
Well,
so I'm just hoping that people understand
advice.
We can do something by getting educated.
Well, we sure can, Bob. Now tell us what to do. The people are anxious. Tell us what we need to get this thing going.
Just like if you want to call me, I'll be more than happy to send you it, and just your postage and handling charges. I would really like to get this book out all over the country. I would like people to go to your curriculum department, your schools, make sure this book is put out, demand that the school board get a copy of it. I'd like a copy put in every library all across the country. If you go to your library and if you get three different people to request the book, the library is required to go ahead and put the book on the shelf.
Only three people.
Just Fantastic. Three people. Go into a library and you say, I want this book. Another person, you get three people, the library is required to get the book, and then we can get people educated on a much broader scale all
good
across
to
the country.
Know. Very
and
good
we can
to
get
know.
The CD-ROM in the library the same way. Some people are even donating the CD-ROMs to the libraries and ask to make it available to all the people. I'd like to see if people all across the country couldn't get this as a debate. Is it legal for lawyers to be in the legislative executive branch of government? And just that debate could go in all the high schools all across the country. I believe strongly that once people start to debate the issue, that common sense will prevail and it'll come to the top and people understand that this is totally a conflict of interest for any of your lawyers to be in the legislature. That's why we've got 94% of the world's lawyers in this country today, Jack. They're making laws to benefit themselves, and they're more and more every day. I don't know how many, I was just reading an article about in Russia. There's something like 68,000 lawyers, and American lawyers in Russia, trying to find a way to corrupt that country.
Oh, my goodness.
So I guess they're going to have a problem there, too, in that area.
We're spreading the disease all over the world.
There you are. And it's sad because, you look at this thing, the law was supposed to be a noble profession. And when the country first started, reading an article a while back over there, and it said that in order for you to become a lawyer in this country, you had to have some type of degree in theology. In other words, you had to be a person that knew the law of God and truth and honesty and integrity.
Well, Bob, now you've got people. We're out of time, brother. We're totally out of time here, I'm sorry to say. Very fascinating. My goodness, they sure don't have to have a degree in theology today to be a lawyer. But we appreciate you, Bob, very much, and we're going to work with you here at our Police and Military Association. I want to get a copy of the book on our newsletter for our police. Get back today.
Thank you very much, Doc.
Hey, Lord bless you for all your hard work.
God bless you for all the hard work you're doing today. Thank you.
Okay, folks, that's it for today. Be back with you on Monday. No, that's the morning, tomorrow morning. Here, so have a great day and a good week. Don't forget this old topic. Please love your parents.
If you've always wanted to understand a little bit more about law, but not make a deep study of it enough that you would get a degree or be admitted to the bar, but you'd still like to know just a little bit more than you have earlier learned, here's the perfect solution for you. We have received a number of copies of a booklet entitled Our American Common Law. This booklet is written by Howard Fisher and Dale Pond. If you'd like a copy, this just under 30 pages will really give you a practical grasp of what the common law is and how it fits into your daily affairs as it relates to courts and jurisprudence. Our address is Post Office Box 344, Nipomo, California, zip code 93444. No price, just donate to Truth Radio. We'll send it to you. Thanks. Looking forward to hearing from you soon. The question, did George Bush ever use cocaine, is once again in the forefront of public view. In October of 1993, I interviewed an FBI asset, Darlene Novinger, who brought evidence of that cocaine use to public attention. Here's a clip from that interview.
I think you were telling us that you have resigned.
Yes, sir. I will no longer do any work for the Federal Bureau of Investigation based on moral ethics.
I believe you would like to hear the entire hour-and-a-half interview with Darlene Novinger. If I am correct, let me explain. We can't put it on Truth Radio because we don't have any way to format an hour-and-a-half. We're technically limited. I can send it to you on two CDs, though, or on one MP3 disc. Request it when you write Truth Radio, P.O. Box 344, Nipomo, California, 93444.